Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has supported our nation's heroes and their families ever since. Heroes like Marine Corps Sergeant Adam Mayo. He served our nation for over 7 years before he was severely injured during training. He was left paralyzed from the chest down, severely limiting his ability to move around his home independently. Tunnel to Towers paid Sergeant Mayo's mortgage, removing a financial burden for him and his family. The foundation gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his specific needs. Tunnel to Towers helps severely injured service members and first responders, as well as Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders. It has already come to the aid of so many heroes and their families by providing mortgage-free homes. The foundation is also committed to eradicating veteran homelessness. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Buck Sexton Show. The one and only Joe Borelli is with us. He is the Republican leader of the New York City Council. He is the sage of Staten Island, a man who knows many things about many things. Mr. Borelli, always an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It is great to see you. Great. You look healthy, Buck, as they say.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying. I'm a Florida man now, and I will say, the weather is nice. It makes you soft, although you have to be really fit here. So it makes you soft, like, to temperature wise. But then again, you know, I probably should like stop eating carbs entirely if I want to fit in with the Miami set here. But tell me this. I actually want to dive into how are things going in good old NYC these days? Like, what's the latest with the mayor, Adams? How would you grade him at this point? How's it all going?
Well, I'd give him a pretty low grade, but the irony is that if he were to lose in 2 years from today, 2025 is the next mayoral election, if he were to lose, it would only be to someone attacking him from the left, and that would be even worse than the current situation we have now.
How is that even possible? Like, what does it take for people in New York City to figure out that having homeless people defecating on the streets and stabbing people with, you know, whatever they have at hand and rising crime and all this stuff and the subways being unsafe and people getting pushed in front of trains. What does it take for the libs to be less crazy in my hometown and your hometown? How does this happen?
They don't get less crazy. If anything, they just get more entrenched in their bizarro world. And you see that mostly in Manhattan. You see this less frequently in the outer boroughs where regular salt-of-the-earth New Yorkers live. And I'm talking about Black New Yorkers, Hispanic New Yorkers, Jewish people, Russian people. They're all starting to shift. But the epicenter of the problem is Manhattan. And I'll give you a great example. I mean, Alvin Bragg is the epitome of moronic district attorney, Soros-funded district attorney. And he is being cheered on right now for indicting a police officer yesterday. So this cop was basically involved in a situation in a Manhattan Apple store in 2021. Alvin Bragg investigated this for 2 years. 2 years, and just brought an indictment against the cop for punching someone as he was trying to escort this person outside of the Apple store who was harassing people in the store and threatening to kill everyone. That's the world we live in. So even though we see, you know, deodorant locked up in cages in Duane Reade, the elected leaders who are actually in charge of prosecuting these people are completely on the side of the criminals.
I mean, well, what is... what justification? It's excessive force from the police officer. That's why he's bringing the indictment.
Yeah, a third degree misdemeanor, the lowest charge possible you can bring to basically get the cop fired, which is just, again, 2 years of an investigation, not of the person who's been a serial burglar and arrested numerous times for a host of crimes. And by the way, the Apple security guard just had a great story in the Post today, basically saying, I saw the whole thing. The DA's office didn't even ask me, and I'm the damn security guard, and the cop did nothing wrong. And this is sort of, you know, the example du jour of the backwardsness of the majority of New York City.
Why is DA Alvin Bragg pro-criminal? Because that's really what it seems like. He thinks his job is to use the power he has to the greatest possible benefit of the criminal class in New York City. Why?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing we could say about him and the most favorable thing I can come up with is that he was honest in telling us this is exactly who he is. And that's why this is such a problem, because the voters picked this. The voters didn't get, you know, they didn't get option B, and then suddenly behind door number two, some woke liberal came out. They got a guy who said, I am going to make sure the fewest number of people get put in jail. I am going to make sure the absolute fewest number possible people who are convicted of a crime or plead to a crime get put in a New York City jail. And he's doing that. His day one memo basically said, here are the crimes we are no longer going to prosecute for. Now, downstream 2 years, we're suddenly surprised again that you know, if you want to get lipstick, it's locked up in a cage somewhere in your local supermarket, or that stores are closing and bodega owners are getting charged criminally, cops are getting charged criminally, but not the regular people who are regularly committing these crimes.
It's just remarkable to me. I would have thought years ago, given what New York City went through, Joe, in the 90s. You were there, right? You were in Staten Island,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Given the crime rate, which was truly just heinous for people's day-to-day lives all over the five boroughs, and then the turnaround during the Giuliani era, and just how much better it was for everybody once the city got cleaned up. And it's not that complicated. It's literally clean it up, like the streets, but also enforce the laws. How do we get to this place where New York, which was the case study of how to fix it all, decided to unfix it? You know, what is that?
So, and this is by no means blaming the pandemic, because a lot of big cities in the country did not go through a similar thing. But the pandemic as the catalyst of acceleration for some of these problems absolutely happened. Because you even had, and you got to remember, Buck, you lived here during this time. You lived during the first term of the de Blasio administration. That was a pretty good time for New York. Mayor Bloomberg, who I disagreed with on 20 different things a year, at least kept the basic services and functionality of the city under good management, and he should be commended for that. Then you had the pandemic hit, and you had sort of the acceleration of seeing all the woke policies that were put into place, like bail reform and all sorts of criminal justice reform, were actually playing out in quick time, because people got arrested, people felt like they can get away with things, and sort of the narrative arc of crime went so quickly. Now, other cities, in even blue cities and red states, those came, you know, parabolic. The crime went up and the crime went down. In New York, we're just starting to see the crime going down, largely because of the NYPD. The NYPD is making more arrests. I mean, lo and behold, right, what we always said, if we have more aggressive policing, it'll lower crime. That is actually happening. The crime level is down. But on the prosecution side and on the keeping people behind bars, I mean, this is just not happening. Bill de Blasio, in his last year, did a press conference touting the fact that we had the lowest jail population on Rikers Island since World War II. If the crime rate was the same as it was in 1945, the number of violent felonies were the same as it was in 1945, we would be patting Bill de Blasio on the back saying, hey, heck of a job, buddy. But it wasn't. The crime was actually going up by then. Just the number of people who are criminals that were segregated from us through the criminal justice system was at its lowest point since 1945.
So this is important. I feel like everyone should know that the in some of these places like New York, where the Democrats or Democrat left is calling the shots, and you got the Soros-backed prosecutors, it's actually not the police that are really the weak point necessarily. It's often not the police at all. It's the prosecutorial arm of the local government, right? It's the decision what to charge and how long to hold them in prison for the crimes they've committed. I want to come back, though, and talk to you about the economic side of things. The mayor, Adams, said that New York is full when it comes to illegal migrants. That's so strange because I thought we're a nation of illegal migrants now and we're supposed to think that they make everything better. We'll talk about this in just a sec. Take your energy and multiply it by two. That's how good and healthy and energy-filled you're likely to feel when you subscribe to Chalk's Male Vitality Stack. This is an all-natural set of supplements designed for everyday consumption and meant to provide you with the stamina, focus, and energy to be your very best. Chalk's been at this for some time, making best-in-class supplements with a focus on allowing you to live your fullest days. Unlike a lot of supplement companies, they don't try to put them into retail stores, but instead build a direct relationship with you as you become a customer of theirs. They want to know about your experience and what else might help you. Start online today at Chalk.com. Whether it's their Male Vitality Stack product or their line of products for both men and women, you'll like the way you feel. Chalk.com, that's C-H-O-Q.com. Save 35% off any Chalk subscription for life when you use my name, Buck, at checkout. Chalk, C-H-O-Q.com, and use my name, Buck, for 35% off. So what happened to New York City's going to just take in all the huddled masses of abroad, right? To give me your tired, your poor, your the thing on the poem, the Lazarus poem and the Statue of Liberty. That's what they always tell us about all the need for open borders. But now Adams is saying all full, too many illegals. What's going on?
Yeah, it turns out poems don't pay the bills. So what I believe happened, and from my conversations, both with people in the Adams administration and just sort of my own observation, is that he was more than willing to sort of carry the Democrats' water, be the poster boy of sanctuary cities. And when the projections were going to be that it was going to be 5,000 people, 10,000 people, you know, that effect on our budget is like a fart in a breezy day. It wasn't going to have any impact. But now that we've had almost 100,000 people come through our system and over 50,000 people in our shelters nightly, in addition to our regular homeless shelter population, mind you, this is 50,000 migrant homeless population. Now the dollar amount is simply unsustainable. Not only is the dollar amount unsustainable, but the Adams administration can't actually find enough rooms to put people. You know, they can't basically put tent cities wherever they want. There's no hotels that are any longer willing to lease space. And they're coming up on basically a hard stop of where they can put people. They're actually renting hotels outside of the city limits in counties on the island and in the Hudson Valley. But the number is insane. The number in our last budget that was unaccounted for, meaning it was migrant money that was not budgeted prior to the start of the fiscal year, was about $1.8 billion. So to give the listeners a comparable, $1.8 billion is more than we spend on the FDNY. FDNY has 10,000 firefighters, 5,000 EMTs, 300 firehouses, 5,000 ambulances, 24-hour rotations, people watching the city all day long. And yet the migrant crisis is actually costing more money than the largest fire department and EMS system in the country. It's simply bonkers. And now Adams is stuck between a rock and a hard place, where they've resorted to actually putting flyers out. I don't know if you've seen this, Buck. They're actually putting flyers out that they're sending to Texas and having people hand them out at the centers that process people when they come across the border, telling them that New York's really expensive and might not be a place for them to live. So that's how far we've come from let me be the poster boy for sanctuary city policies to now he's attacking the Biden administration, rightfully, by the way, for not paying for this problem that is caused 100% by the federal government's failure. We're just on the hook on being the world's refugee camp because of our own dopey politicians who decided to have not just the sanctuary city law, but a right to shelter law ingrained in our state constitution, which guarantees any person, which person is now defined as a migrant, unlimited resources should they need them.
It's unbelievable. I mean, just
you made
just
the right choice by leaving, Buck. I'm not going to lie.
I see now, where do all my tax dollars go? Recently, I saw not only do you got the $1.8 billion going for illegals, but there's this judgment that de Blasio set up this fund, right, for teachers that failed the test who are Black and Hispanic, who failed this teacher certification exam. They're getting $1 million, some of them $2 million, paying them for an entire career of work that they never did. They went off and did other jobs. But now, after 20 years, they get the full back pay for all 20 years and benefits because they fail the test of basic reading, math, and teaching skills. Like, that's where my tax dollars are going as a New Yorker, or where they would be going, rather. That's where yours are going, Joe.
Yeah, or the $13 million they just settled with on BLM protesters after George Floyd. So if you were arrested during the protest and perhaps roughed up in the ensuing scuffle, or maybe you were held 2 hours too long, they settled about $13 million with a whole bunch of defendants who felt they were wrongly arrested and wrongly detained. So, I mean, this is the kind of city we live in where it is unsustainable. The New Yorker, which I'm sure you don't read because I don't really read it, that often, but they came out with a really good article yesterday about the crisis involving New York real estate, both commercial and residential. And we are at the precipice of a fiscal cliff. And, you know, I've been hyperbolic about this in the past, and maybe too much though, but now we really are up against a very, very, very hard a situation where banks may have to default on lenders. Building owners no longer have the ability to go to local banks to get refinancing on some of the largest buildings in New York City. This is actually a catastrophic event for New York that could be happening.
How far off is that from becoming a reality at this point? Like, is this expected to happen in a matter of weeks, months, years?
I would say within a year or two. I mean, you'll start seeing some of the regional banks and lenders who finance some of these smaller properties. You'll see it affected in their stock market price and some of the issues in the market on them. Then you'll see some of these and Blackstone, a company, just handed back the keys of their building because they couldn't refinance. I mean, so you're starting to see the cracks in the dam. The dam hasn't cracked completely yet. The water isn't flowing. But we're at the point now where you're starting to see major buildings get defaulted on, or just the owners handing back the keys to the lending institutions.
I'm going to come back and ask you, Joe, if I made you the king of New York, which arguably you are, but if I made you the king of New York and you had to fix the place and you could just do whatever you needed to do to fix it, to make it the greatest city in America, which I think, at least for a period of my life I lived in, which I do believe it was for a while the greatest city in America, I want to ask you how you'd fix it, given that you work in the city council, you know, the budgetary issues, the police and law enforcement issues, the sanitation. You know, I just want you to give me your quick version of how you just make the city function at its absolute best. But we'll get to that in a second. One of MyPillow's most popular products is now back in stock and at a great price. These are the Giza Dream Sheets, the bed sheets made with Giza cotton from a region in Egypt by the same name. These are some of the most comfortable sheets you'll ever experience. They're the kind of sheets that make getting out of bed difficult. They're ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable with a luxurious finish. Sets of these sheets are now priced as low as $29.98 when you use our names as your promo code. When you buy these on sale, you get 60 days to decide if they're not the most comfortable, cool sheets you've ever slept on, which they will be. But there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, plus a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special Square. Check out this flash sale on the Giza Dream Sheets. Remember, use our names, Clay and Buck, as your promo code. MyPillow.com, Clay and Buck as the promo code, or call 800-792-3269. Joe, how do you fix, you're the king of New York for a year. How do you fix the city?
Well, it's interesting. It essentially would have been the Zeldin plan. I was very close with, and still am with Lee Zeldin, and we ran a pretty good campaign where he almost actually won and became governor. His plan started with public safety, and so would mine. I mean, public safety is paramount to getting people back into their offices. By the way, people are not going to offices in Manhattan because they don't want to. It's partially because they don't feel safe. So the first thing we have to do is repeal cashless bail, We have to repeal most of the criminal justice provisions that were voted on over the last 10 years. That said, we have to make real estate valuable in New York City again. We have to make sure the industry is solid. And you do that by giving, you know, old-fashioned tax breaks. The governor and the legislature couldn't come up with an agreement this year to extend some of the tax abatements that a lot of these developers needed to continue building the skyscrapers and apartment buildings that New Yorkers need. So it's an interesting catch-22 where on the finance side, we have to spur some growth. We also need to lower our business taxes. I mean, right now we're losing companies. Forget the people that are leaving, right? I might leave because the weather's nice, but J.P. Morgan just went to the Dallas metro because of the tax structure and the business climate of Texas. So we'd have to reform that as well. You know, if we could do that, and I think we do. I really do think New York is poised for the pendulum to start swinging back. I just don't know if it's going to happen in my, say, political lifetime. But I bet you by the time I have grandkids, New York will be in full swing again. It took, you mentioned the 1990s before. Remember, crime was really bad in the late 70s, early 80s. And it took about, you know, 5 or 6 years for things to really level off going into 99, 2000, 2001.
What are the biggest areas of the city budget in New York that you're just like, what the heck are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to say the Department of Education. I mean, our Department of Education, and my wife's a teacher, and God bless the work that some of them do, but we spend more per child than any other system by far. And I don't mean like we spend 10% more, 5%. We spend about triple what, say, the private school systems here in New York spend on average. The Catholic schools, for example, educate a kid for about $7,000 or $8,000 a year. In elementary school, we're up to $27,000, $28,000, $29,000 per year. So that is the biggest vacuum of city spending. A lot of it has to do with the age of some of our school buildings. We have, you know, 1,200 school buildings in New York City. A lot of them are 100 years old. So there is going to be some capital needs for keeping the system itself going. But this cost per spending is probably astronomical. And then you can look at any agency. I mean, the NYPD spends more money than North Korea, but I wouldn't say we should cut that. So even though New York is so big, we have to approach cuts with a scalpel. And by the way, you know, the budget growth of 1%, 2% a year is fine in a city like New York that for the last 20 years was able to meet that with regular old growth. We haven't really raised taxes. Taxes are high, but we haven't raised them. It's only recently with this migrant crisis and sort of the out of control pension and liability, pension and healthcare spending that we've been put in this fiscal problem.
I'm going to ask you to tell me a little bit of Staten Island history to close us out here in a second, Mr. Joe Borelli, because Joe has written a book on the history of the great island known as the Staten. My understanding was that Staten Island was where the British liked to hang out when they were trying to crush George Washington and the Patriots.
Oh, sure as heck. I mean, so I'll give you two fun facts about Staten Island history. And by the way, I wrote one book, but my publisher made it two books. So you can go on Amazon and buy it. I get a buck a book. So hopefully the audience buys a couple. But so fun fact about the American Revolution. If people like the show Turn, it was on AMC. It was a great show about the American Revolution and the spy network. That spy network really happened on Staten Island, and one of the main characters was Lieutenant Simcoe. He was the sort of the evil, antagonist of the show. If you're on the 11th tee at Laterette Golf Course, it's a very high, elevated tee on top of a hill. You're actually teeing off on top of a redoubt that was constructed by the British in 1777. So it's a 100-year-old berm that you're basically playing off your tee. And if you're playing at Silver Lake Golf Course, on the 18th fairway, you're actually trampling over the graves of 10,000 Irish and German people who were killed by typhoid fever and scurvy and God knows what else they brought with them over as they came across the ocean to come to New York. Some macabre history for New York City golf.
What's the name of the book or the books?
So Revolutionary Staten Island is the first one, and then Staten Island, the 19th century, is the second one. The first one's better. It's got more gore, more killing, stuff like that.
Very good. Mr. Joe Borelli, the Sage of Staten Island, great to have you on, sir. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Buck.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country, heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber, the complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye. He needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope. With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.